What have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts?
You have said, it is useless to serve God. Why? Because you can't see profit. The more you serve God, the more you are suffering. And you begin to think, so why do we even serve? I told you this. This is where you have to understand this, where this teaching is coming, why this teaching. There are people who actually see no profit in serving God. And I opened the scripture for you that even in Job said the same things. And the more Job said the same thing, to say he can't see the reason of his labor. He said, I can't see the purpose of my saving. Job said it. Imagine that you fast, you pray, you are a giver, you give in church, you do everything, but your life is still stuck. And God says, I know what you are thinking now. You are saying there is no profit in what I'm doing. There is no, why am I even serving? I can't even see a change. I've been believing. I can't even see a change. Why am I even doing it? The Bible says, God says, you are harsh. And you are saying these words against me because you do not understand that what you're doing, I'm about to do something. There is profit. I'm talking to somebody. It's not useless. I'm about to do something. And the enemy will come and begin to manipulate you and begin to tell you to start saying, you know, I can't see profit. I've been saving. I've been giving. I've been partnering. I've been doing everything right. But look at me. See what's going on around me. You must be very careful because the enemy does that. In the book of Job 9:29.
If I am condemned, why then do I labor in vain?
Imagine Job saying he's laboring in vain. What I'm doing, he says, it's in vain. I'm walking in the integrity. What I'm doing is in vain. I'm talking to somebody tonight because I'm leading you into deliverance, because you have to understand what's going to happen tonight. God wants to break the cage around you. Hey, you, I'm talking to you, who's watching me right now. The Lord wants to break that cage around you. It is not in vain serving God. So Job began to confess. He says, no, I don't even see why I save. I don't even see. It's like I'm passing through trouble. Yet I walk in his integrity. Imagine you do everything right, but yet you're still suffering. You begin to think, so what is the profit? Never be trapped to think like that. Because as I said to you, salvation is coming. Come on, your amen is not loud and clear. And I even showed you another man whose name was called Asaph. Asaph was a director of music. Asaph was in the choir. Are you hearing me? Asaph, whenever David wants victory, he will just call Asaph. When Asaph begins to worship, the Bible says God will come down and fight for David. Asaph was a man who was a giver. Oftentimes, you see David asking Asaph to do an offering, a sacrifice before God. It was Asaph. He was a priest. He was a man of God. He was a preacher. He was a pastor. Asaph, he served God. As he was serving, he became sick. And a sickness that was not going out. Yet he was serving God. Financially, things were not moving. Then he wrote Psalm 73. In verse 13, let's start from verse 10. He is complaining about it. What is he saying?
Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? and is their knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches.
Now, you see what he's saying? He says, these are ungodly. In New Living Translation, he's even mentioning them.
Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply.
He says, look, I am suffering. I am with David all the time. Imagine I serve God under David. I'm always with David and I'm suffering. He says, every moment I'm moving with the major one. David. And I'm poor. Yet these guys who don't even serve God, they are multiplying in riches. He actually stopped seeing the profit of serving God. Hey. And in verse 14, Asaph continues to cry.
I get nothing but the trouble all day long.
Imagine.
Every morning brings me pain.
Imagine that. He says, the more I serve God, in return, I'm passing through pain. In King James Version, he says, I'm afflicted. The word pain there, he's not talking about the pain of heart. It is an affliction. Pain as a pain in your body. This man had a sickness. Every morning, he could not wake up properly. He had pains. He says, no. Why these guys? I go in the temple. I go in the temple. When David wants victory, I sing. But look at my life. So now what happens? Because you are a child of God, what you say becomes what can keep you. Now when we are dealing with the word deliverance, that's where my message is now. When we are dealing with, so how do you come out? Because you need to see the profit of serving God. This is where the word deliverance came in. So when you check in the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 17, it says, and on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance.
And there shall be holiness.
Did you hear that?
The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions.
It says, and on Mount Zion,
there shall be deliverance.
There shall be deliverance.
And there shall be holiness.
And the word deliverance there is the word pereta, which means to break the snare, to escape from a trap, to get loosed from a chain, to get out of a cage. It means to break through from a barrier. It also means to cut the chain asunder that was holding you. The word pereta. So when God is dealing with the word pereta, he's dealing with you escaping. Because God understands there are things that are holding you. There are traps in the spirit that are actually holding your job, holding your finances, holding your marriage, holding your breakthrough, holding your healing. And God says, and on Mount Zion, the word Mount Zion, there is the word church, they shall be what? Pereta. They shall be what? Escape. Come on, just tell your neighbor again and say escape.
Escape.
Say break loose.
Break loose.
Tell your neighbor, Pereta. Like how? You see, so what happens is everybody knows that that woman is there. She has been chained. And they have seen you passing here in chains. And everybody sees that you are being chained and you're going to be killed. And you're walking like this, that you're going to be chained. An hour later, they see you walking alone like this. What happened? What happened? Everybody's shocked. What happened? You're like, I escaped. What happened? Is what's going to happen with you. I perated. What happened? You had debts. You were suffering.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes.
Pereta. And then look at you. You used to be sick and you're just okay. What happened? I escaped. Am I talking to somebody right? You had financial problems, you had poverty, things were not moving, and boom, they see you differently. You have even a secretary. The person who works in your house is using a Mercedes Benz. And they say, what happened? Pereta. On Mount Zion, there shall be. Pereta. The way you are shouting, you are not provoking Pereta. Someone say, I escape. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
Imagine this, that they have put a place to hang you, to kill you. And everybody is feeling sorry for you, like, oh my God, this guy is gone. They're killing him today. They're killing him today. Then the king says, tomorrow we'll kill you. Not today. Tomorrow we'll kill you. Ah, everybody, they go home to sleep like, we don't know what's going to happen. Then in the morning, as they are praying, you know, then they see you knocking. And then you open. They say, ah. It's like they had, you see, they saw you in a coffin already, in their mind. They already saw you in problem. And then they say, pow, you're walking in there. Like, what happened? Say, I escaped. That's where this word was meant for the church. The first guy to do it was Peter. When he is in a prison, he's put in a prison, and everybody thinks tomorrow Peter will be killed. You're joking. There's a Pereta anointing. When they came in the morning, they saw Peter is not there. The gate is even broken, not opened, but broken. They said, what happened? They said, we don't even know. A light came in this prison. And when the light came, the chains were fallen. And the man walked properly to take his wristwatch. God even said, take your crook. He took, take your sandals. The man even sat down, put on his sandals like this. And the angel said, follow me. As he was following, the gates were opening. Somebody said, Pereta. And when he went to his house, he found believers in the house. Doing what?
Praying.
Praying for who? And when they saw him, they said, no. It must be his ghost. Because we know he's in the hands of Herod. The man said, don't worry. He is I. Have you forgotten? There is a Pereta. We can break out. On the Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance. There shall be escaping. Escape from your disease. I say, escape from your disease.
I receive.
Escape from danger.
I receive.
Escape from poverty.
I receive.
Escape from your debts.
I receive.
Sharakapa hande revre.
I receive.
Someone say, Pereta.
Pereta.
So he says, and there shall be deliverance. So how do you get deliverance then? I'm just going to show you two. So the first Pereta is by angels. Say, by angels. Psalm 34 verse 7. It says what?
Psalm 34 verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them.
Now, when Peter was delivered by the angel, what does it mean to you? So, Peter, he was delivered by an angel. An angel was sent to take him out of that cage. And in the book of Psalm, there is a prophecy. So what happened to Peter was a fulfillment of the prophecy that the angel of the Lord would deliver those who fear him. So I prophesy right now, wherever you are, wherever you go, angels will come to your rescue.
I receive.
Number two, because of time. Number two, I just want to show you this. Number two, deliverance by the oil. By the oil. In Isaiah 10:27,
Isaiah 10, verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing.
Again, oil. Because?
Because of the anointing oil.
What will be destroyed?
The yoke.
In Mark 6, verse 12 to 13, what did the disciples do?
So they went out and preached that people should repent.
Mm-hmm.
13. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them.
Now, demons can come out by the anointing oil. There are so many people who actually play around the revelation of oil. You may have it in your house and it may not work for you, I can promise you. Because it's not the oil that works, it is the revelation that works. Listen. Oil can actually cast out a spirit. I'm telling you, if you have a child who's sick, very sick, anoint that child with oil. If you have somebody in your house that is very sick, anoint them with oil. Anoint yourself with oil. You know, there are moments when people lose revelation, right? I promise you. There are moments people lose revelation. But never lose the revelation of oil in this ministry. Never lose it. Never lose it. Anoint yourself and you will see. You see, the disciples of Jesus were using oil, and the Bible says, and demons and diseases left people. Somebody said, no, you're no longer supposed to use oil. Yet in the book of James chapter 5, it says, anoint them with oil. And that's the biggest problem we have nowadays. I pray, if you have oil right now in your house, get ready for deliverance. I pray for everybody watching me, wherever watching from. I announce deliverance in the name of Jesus. I announce deliverance in the name of Jesus. I announce deliverance in the name of Jesus.
I see.
Number three. One can get deliverance by fasting. Say fasting.
Fasting.
In Matthew 17, verse 21.
Matthew 17, verse 21. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.
Listen to me. Some of other demonic entities and powers and principalities only listen to fasting. It says this kind, this spirit, this principality, this power can come out not just by prayer, but by prayer and fasting. And some of you need to understand these things. What does it mean? There are certain things cannot bow. Listen to me. And no matter how you pray, you begin to say, I don't even see the reason why I'm praying. My life is like this. No. Prayer and fasting, you can be delivered. Listen to this. Nothing can drive out this kind. The word this kind, it is fashion. The word which it's used there, from Greek, the word kind, it means fashion. So there's a certain fashion of your problem. You have never seen it before. Like this type of attack. Hey, what am I going through right now? This kind of attack, I have never faced it. And Jesus says, this kind of attack can only come out by prayer and fasting. Not by fasting, but by prayer and fasting. Not by prayer, but by prayer and fasting. It's so possible for you to fast without prayer. And it's so possible for you to pray without fasting. Somebody say, this kind must come out. Number four, by knowledge. Knowledge. So many people were delivered and demons came back because they didn't even know they were delivered. Imagine you're in prison and you are released and you don't know that you are released. You will stay there forever. Imagine that you are released. You will stay there. And then they come, they say, we wrote your name on a board. Names of people who are released. And your name was there. We put it 5 years ago. And your name has been. They're like, I didn't know. I didn't come to read it. Like, what? Like, no. We actually put your name on the notice board. Your name was there. We actually put it 5 years ago. Like, you mean it? Until today it's true. They're like, I actually didn't know it. So why are you in prison? Because you didn't know that you were released. There are people who don't even know right now that they are delivered. And because they don't know, they don't take advantage of their deliverance and claim it and walk in it. So when we read the scripture, there is deliverance by knowledge. You can actually have knowledge and receive your deliverance. In Proverbs 11, verse 9.
Proverbs 11, verse 9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge.
Through what?
Through knowledge.
Through what?
Through knowledge.
What happens?
The righteous will be delivered.
Through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Through knowledge, the righteous will escape. Imagine that you're just there. You are sinking like, I'm sinking. You finish sinking. But through knowledge, I can't sink. I must swim. That's why those who don't know how to swim with the foreign water, they sink. And if you know how to swim, the knowledge you have, you what? I told you one time I asked God, I said, God, why do you allow me all the times to go through the storms, through the waves of the sea? I said, God, why? He said to me, because, shepherd, he said, your enemies do not know how to swim. So that's the only way I give you. Because I know when I give you that way, your enemies want to follow you. They don't know how to swim. I said, what? I was so disappointed from that. I didn't even ask further questions. I had an answer. So when I see a storm, I know that, there are some enemies who have been moving with me. And God wants me to go through here. And anyone following me, they'll be drowned. And every storm I have faced, I promise you, I crossed it. Every wave, everything that I faced is true. Looks like I'm good at swimming. Looks like I'm very nice. Tell your neighbor, sometimes God gives you mountains because he knows your enemies do not know how to hike. He knows they can't climb with them. He knows. Yet you're just going to go there. Pa, 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 pa. You're on top. And they say, hey, that guy. They say, that guy. He's so dangerous. And they even wonder, how did he even go on top of there? So I decree and declare that you receive knowledge. Knowledge, it is how you know. Because there are people who still cry. Who still think, why am I passing through this? Why? Why? There are people who have no knowledge. There are people who don't even know. The Bible says, through knowledge, the righteous shall be delivered. Make advantage of your deliverance. Let me give you the last one. Deliverance by a prophet. In the book of Hosea, 12, verse 13 to 14, it says what?
By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet, he was preserved.
In King James Version. And
by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt.
And in NIV.
And by a prophet, he cared for him.
All right. In verse 14.
Verse 14. But Ephraim has aroused his bitter anger. His Lord will leave on him the guilt of his bloodshed and will repay him for his contempt.
There are certain things you need to know. You need a prophet, period. There is no contradiction what I'm telling you here. There are certain things God would want you to meet a prophet. If David needed a prophet, who do you think you are? If Jesus himself needed a prophet, had to go to John, who do you think you are? It says, by a prophet, Israel was taken out of Egypt. Your Egypt is breaking tonight. Whatsoever prosperity, whatsoever spirit, whatsoever has been happening in your family, you will peleta. You will escape. The snare will be broken.